Is everybody good? We are in this series, Tales from the Trail. And you see, the Israelites sang songs and psalms of ascent as they traveled and physically on this journey towards a promised land, but even spiritually, their journey was moving them, hopefully, closer into the heart of God in faith and trust. And so as Christians, we too are on a spiritual journey if we choose to make the road less traveled. So that's what we're in. You could be opening up to Psalm 100. And so this morning's tale is going to be a little different. You've heard actual physical trails and saw pictures that I hiked. And this one was a little different, and you might be shocked on what trail the Lord actually led me onto. But you'll hear about that in a moment. And so I guess before I even enter this story, I want to pray. And sometimes even I get a little nervous, and actually all the time. I always told God, you know, I'll do anything for you except public speaking, and bam! Here I am, and I'm serious about that. It's like there was one thing I knew I'd never do in life, and it was this. So let's pray, and I'm kind of excited but nervous at the same time as this morning's sermon is just simply one word, shout. And so, what? I took the exclamation off, and so let's pray. So, Father in heaven, we come before you with gladful hearts. And, Lord, thank you just for the opportunity to worship you this morning. And it was rocking. And you love it all, God. You love it when our hearts are contemplative and beautiful. And then there's times when our feet are dancing and we're shouting to you. And you are worthy of it. God, let us always be a people that come here absolutely to get refreshed and recharged for the rest of the week. But Lord, even if we're not feeling up for it or we feel like, I didn't get what I wanted, let us ultimately be here to worship you because you are worthy. You are our creator. You are our savior through Jesus Christ, your son. And we have life. And so we pray that your spirit will be in this morning, and for Lord, this isn't about listening to worship or taking notes on sermons. This is about all of us participating in all that happens, because all that happens this morning is worship to you, and all of God's people said, amen. So in my second retreat, I took one spiritual retreat each month that was on sabbatical, that I'm so grateful that the church gave me, and I was looking for cheaper free places to stay. And one of the elders in our church hooked me up with Tim out in Colorado, who runs Outdoor Adventures Ministry. I think that's what it's called. Ministry to guys that takes guys hunting and backpacking, and he weaves in God into those things. And so, hey, note, guys, he is very interested if we got some hunters in the church that want to go out to Colorado, and he'd be happy to do something like that. And he had a five-bedroom house that he owns, and so he had a spare bedroom. And while I was out there, it almost felt like, I'm going to be, understand, my retreats are meant to be quiet and isolated and contemplative and reading a scripture and praying. And basically, I found myself living in a fraternity house for middle-aged men. And so there's five guys, sharing the house, each their own bedrooms. We're sharing a bathroom. We're eating our own meals separately. Sometimes our lives bump into each other. And it was just, man, it was like being in college in a fraternity house. And two of the guys were musicians, and one of them was a professional musician and made his life doing that, and the other guy worked on houses, and guy that was professional, is just amazing pianist and plays on cruise ships and, you know, just all over. And the other one was a percussionist. And so it just happened that the week I was there was this, and by the way, I was in Grand Lake, which was only 10 minutes from the Rocky Mountain, Colorado National Park, and so where I did some hiking, as you know. And so Tim had invited me on Sunday to go to church with him. There was this big event outdoor in a park, all these churches coming, and they had, it was the testimony of, and I'm sorry about this, but some famous woman you hear on the radio all the time, and she's given testimony of God in her life, and they had had a big concert the night before, and I don't remember his name, but her name, but anyway, and then so it did that, but during the week before Sunday came, these two guys, my fraternity brothers, wanted me to come hear them because once a year there is this huge annual event in Grand Lake, and the best musicians from the Denver area come together and jam, and they're so good that they don't practice together. They just show up, and someone will lead in a song, and the others just pick right up, and so they were saying, hey, you gotta, you know, come. Hey, come hear us, and come play and hang out. And my first thought is, that ain't happening. And it was going to be at Squeaky Bee's, you know, and it's this kind of bar and a restaurant. And so the biggest mistake you can make is to pray about stuff. And so I prayed about it, you know, just because I take everything to God in prayer. And I felt this prompting year to go. And it's like, and I already had not had my retreating time as it was. And now, it's like worship with all these churches Sunday morning. And then Sunday, you know, after that, I go to Squeaky Bee's for, you know, a big loud party. And it's like, that was the last thing my soul wanted, right? But I listen and obey what God tells me to do. And so I went and Squeaky Bee's is, you know, it's just this right in the heart of Grand Lake town. It was the only town, you know, unless you're going miles and miles away towards Denver. And they had this outdoor courtyard, and it was standing room only, and there's tables, there was an outdoor beer, I don't know, you call them garden, I don't know, but anyway, beer, and in the court. And you know, the music was amazing. They were doing vintage rock and roll, they were doing blues rock, and there's all these people that normally are leading bands, but they're all together at the same time, and so I waited for in between sets, and I grabbed my beer and went over and just wanted to say hi to the guys, and soon as they saw me, these guys were like, they were like overly excited, you know, they're just like, they were like, ah, you know, Craig, you know, and waved me over, you know, hug me, and it's just like, thank you. There was something about my actually taking them up on this invitation that was way beyond what I understood, okay, and they knew I was a Christian and pastor on retreat, and that's probably part of, you know, just like, ah, pastor will never come, and then they even honored me with, sit at the reserved table, you know, where all the musicians sit, you know, and that's so cool, you know. Wouldn't that be cool to do that? But it was in front of a stack of speakers that were taller than I was. And it's like, I can't sit there. And so, hey, thanks. And they're introducing me to friends and family. And there's all these people there. And it's just this raucous, cool, happening time, you know. And so I actually, while I was sitting out there, you know, and it's like I was observing, you know, the people, and they're dancing. And there's just this celebration. And they're just enjoying old and young, you know, and different people, kinds of people. And they're dancing and rocking to this music at Squeaky Bee's, and uh, and And it was just filled with celebration, you know? And so there was something kind of stirring me in there as I was sipping my beer, watching all this, and not dancing. Engineers don't dance. And Christians do, but not engineers. But it was just really fun, and I was kind of stirred in that. And in that moment, and this is kind of the point of the morning, I realized that all people, I knew this, but it came into my heart that all people were created for joyful shouting and worship. But the Lord gives you, i.e. his church, reasons to celebrate with ear-splitting joy. So I want to say that one more time because this is important. All people were created for joyful shouting and worship, but the Lord gives you, his church, reason for ear-splitting shouting. All right, let's read our psalm for this morning, and it's Psalm 100. And this psalm is one of my favorites. For me, you know, the Lord's Prayer is a favorite of everyone's. And the Lord's Prayer was, Jesus gave as a model prayer. It wasn't like this is just, you know, pray it rotely, you know, but it's like pray it and let it guide you in how to pray to your Father, our Father in heaven, right? Right? So in a way, the psalmist has given us this psalm, and for me, it's like a model song of how to sing my praises. There are all kinds of psalms like laments, but this one is one that is meant to be celebrative and thanking God, and so it's, for me, it's like a model, and so I'm not going to go deep into it. I've spoken on this psalm before, but I want to just give you the basics for you and weave the rest of the story into this psalm. So let's read the whole psalm. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to the words of this beautiful psalm. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So if I was to think of this as four stanzas, the first stanza, verses 1 and 2, think of it as shout to the Lord with ear-splitting joy. Shout to the Lord with ear-splitting joy. And so he says to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And this should be the heartbeat of every believer, not just church make a joyful noise. All the earth ultimately be able to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that word noise also is sometimes translated shout. And if you look at what that word noise means literally, it's figuratively to split the ear with sound. To split the ear with sound. And so if you think about it, in other words, we're being told to shout so joyfully we split God's ears. Kind of fun thought, huh? And we're commanded to, by the way. He's not going to be like your mom and dad saying, hey, indoor voices. And, you know, let me just read for you some of the places we see this in other psalms. Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. There's that idea of shouting and noise. And then I just love that. You know, it's kind of like, let's have joyful noise that splits the rock, right? Sorry, I get excited about this stuff. Do you? Yeah? So, and then Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Now, I'll pause on that one for a moment because for me, this is important. I feel like that semicolon between make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, is like a line that says, okay, there's going to be some of you that can't do the following, break forth into a joyous song. I can't sing, but I can make noise. And so whether you are a joyful noisemaker or a joyful singer, as in that verse, it's all good, people. So never let someone next to you singing with a beautiful voice and praise God that they got that, but don't let it hinder your joyful noise. Just make your noise louder than their singing. You see, maybe like me, many people, what comes out of your mouth wouldn't call singing, but maybe like me, you can simply make joyful noise. And then Psalm 98:6, just the last part says, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Actually, that I didn't give you all of them, but who are we to make this joyful noise to? The King, the Lord. And it reminds us there is a focal point of our worship and celebration, right? So, as I watched this joyful celebration at Squeaky Bees, you know, humanity was just totally enjoying themselves. And it was really beautiful to watch, you know, people enjoying life so freely, you know, the dancing. And I even saw like a young woman get up and dance with this 80-year-old guy. And I knew he was 80 because I asked, one of my brothers about it. And it was just like they didn't know each other, but there was just this, you know, this was kind of just pure celebration of humanity. And it was kind of cool. And I watched people having fun. And for some strange reason, this is where it got interesting, is I got kind of teared up. And it caught me by surprise that as I'm watching this, you know, sipping my beer, that there was something here very moving and very real about what was going on. And as I thought about that, you know, several things came to my heart. It went deeper and deeper. Just on the surface level, I could see such joy and freedom in their celebration of life. And I kind of felt like, you know, maybe God's churches, you know, could use a little more of that freedom and joy in their soul. Amen? You know, and I don't know how you grew up. You know, maybe you grew up in a tradition that it's always solemn and subdued and quiet. And by the way, and just on that note, I appreciate you guys when you do shout out something when I ask a question. And sometimes I get new people here, and they hear something that excites them, and then they, you know how many times I've had new people come up and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I kind of shouted that out, you know, is that, you know, and it's like, please do, teach our other people to shout out something when they like what they're hearing, amen? All right. If you start shouting more, maybe I'll get to stop. Man, what's in this? Now I'm lost. Oh, tears. So there was something like, you know what? I could see why people love this. This was just once a year. But, you know, man, you wonder if the bars had live bands every night, if they clean out the churches on Sunday, right? But second, as I was asking God about the tear, I even saw deeper in that, you know what, this was so necessary for some of these people. I saw hardened faces, hard people going through hard lives. And they needed a place to escape, just to let their soul feel something good for one afternoon, right? Because they all got to go back to whatever that life was in the morning or when they got home that night. I don't know. And so we need a place to celebrate and worship. And so as I, you know, ask God more about the tear. This is stupid, but no, it's not stupid, is it? Is the deepest reason is because these lost souls were missing out on the source of their joy, and so they're celebrating creation in each other, but they're not celebrating the Creator, and they don't know, for some reason, how deep Jesus' love is for them. And that there's a joy that can be had that doesn't go away when the last note's played and the last beer cup is emptied. Amen. And that's so that was ultimately, you know, I wanted them to know Jesus loves them so much, and that in him is a joy that sticks for eternity. And even through those hardnesses that they might be going through in the present, right? And so what was interesting at that moment is I'm kind of in that place, and then they would, and you know, the one of my house buddies, you know, he was the guy actually that kind of organizes this and helps put it together and leads it, but his voice went silent in all the singing that he had been doing during the week, and he plays constantly in different places. His voice went hoarse, and he had to kind of let other people take the lead on a lot of stuff. And so anyway, this one lady got up, or she was in the band, but she took her turn. So people were taking different turns singing, and she was kind of did some cool blues rock and things. And so she sang the song by Otis Day and the Knights, Shout. Maybe you've heard it in wedding receptions, or maybe, don't raise your hand on this one, the Animal House. Heard the song way back in the college days before I found my way back to God and his church. And what was interesting in that is she was leading this song, you know, and it's just this, it's got this repeating phrasing, and, you know, well, you know, you make me want to. And then she'd start, wow. Were you guys go to the bar a lot? And then she would talk about these, in that shouting, and she started making stuff up, you know, and, you know, for squeaky bees, big burgers, and everybody goes, shout, and they put their hands in the air, and, you know, for Colorado's pine trees and mountains, shout, you know, and for the sunshine that's shining today, shout, you know. And so there was all this shouting for creation. And for the, you know, and I forgot which beer it was, I guess. But anyway, blah, blah, blear, shout, you know. And so there people are shouting and they're dancing like, you know, in the picture you saw. And they were just having such a great time. And then as it ended, and then when her set was done, and she closed with that song, she said, if you didn't have church today, you just did. Now, what do you think about that? I guarantee you, you're going to get different reactions even in this room, because a lot of Christians would say, yeah, God was pleased with that celebration, and they were having church, right? You know, it is wonderful and necessary to worship God all the time, right? And so I'm not saying it was wrong what they were doing. It was beautiful. But were they having church? You know, it's okay to celebrate and worship. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are to pray continually, that we are to give thanks continually. So it's a good thing. They needed this. But were they having church? What is church? Now, I won't go into a long thing like I do at Christian Life College, but just even that word, ekklesia, you know, in a secular sense, in the Greek just means assembly, and that could mean anything. But when it's used in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that there's actually God's people, it's called, you know, the gathering, a sacred gathering. And a sacred assembly. And the New Testament, that really means it's the gathering of God's people for the purpose of worshiping Him, not just celebrating life. Do you understand? The church is the gathering of God's people with Him as the focus of all that comes out of the worship and the sermon and our prayers. He becomes the focal point because we belong to Him. And when I've said things like that, I said, well, yeah, it's just where two or three Christians gather together. That's church. I mean, how many of you know, I've heard leaders say, yeah, I have church when I go to Denny's. That's why I'm not there on Sunday morning, because I'm having church. Well, I call that mission. You know, you go share. I've had waitress sit down next to me because God's Spirit was doing something, and I prayed for her, and she needed that. But was I having church? No. We evangelize. We bring mission. Paul would go to the marketplace, but Paul even knew that wasn't church. He went to great lengths in a whole book called 1 Corinthians to talk about what church is. So it's not even the gathering of two or three Christians, because that, boy, talk about two, there's 2,000 at any given football game, 3,000 at rock concerts. Is that church? Is that having church, people? I'm shocking some of you, and some of you disagree and now dislike me for saying that. I think sometimes we use that thought to rationalize why we won't go and meet together. Church is not these four walls. It's you. It's you together. It's God's family. It's like, I guess on top of my head, it's like, you know, my father invites us all the relatives out for Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm going, no, I'm at the movie having family. No, you're not. You get it? Now, you're saying, why are you getting all in a huff? And I won't say that, but, you know, what does this matter? Why does this even matter? If everything is having churches, if every event, every parade, every deer stand, every ball game, every bar is having church, and then we don't need this. Let's just pack it up. It's all the same anyway, is it? This is where the Word of God is preached and taught. This is where the worship knows its source for celebrating, and the prayers have power because they're directed to the one who is the Creator. This is what people need. That's what my tears were for, because they needed church. The funny thing is, I hear Christians argue that case more than the world. And here's the clincher. Here's maybe the main reason God sent me to Squeaky Bees to celebrate. I was having fun. So afterwards, I walked up to my fraternity brother, and I God wanted me to go bless him, tell him this was wonderful. And so I went up there, and he had in his left hand four empty, as I do here, four empty beer glasses, and in the right hand a full one. And he was so excited that I'd come to hear him. And so I went up there, and, you know, I told him that was amazing. And I told him, you know, I got teared up. I didn't tell him the whole story, but I told him I got teared up because it was just, you guys play so well, and it's beautiful, and the celebration. And he exploded, and he's like, thank you, you know, and he just, man, he hugged me, and it's like he needed to hear God loved him. And God does love, does God love that guy? He didn't go to church that morning. He loves all of us sinners. And you know what was interesting? Is then he said, hey, before I could say any more, he goes, hey, I apologize for what she said. That bothered me, that we're having church. And then it turned into confessional. And then he started saying, I want to get there. It's hard, you know, because all the gigs and the confession of all the things that come along with being, you know, a rock and roll band leader, but just leader, right? And so he just started telling me this stuff, and it's like, and I prayed for him, and I blessed him right there at Squeaky Bee's. But he got it. He wasn't denying this is cool. And do you know why the world is offering, what's the word I'm looking for? It's mimicking. It's a counterfeiting. Thank you, church. And you know, and that's what Satan does with anything. God, Satan can't create anything. He's not created one thing in his long existence, but he copies everything that God does as a distraction. And I'm not saying Squeaky Bee's is from Satan. It's like, no, Christians, you can go to a bar, you know, and sip your beer. Or if that's not cool, don't do that. But I'm just saying the world is offering counterfeits all the time. And so these are just copies. And he recognized that. He knew that. And he wanted God. And I just prayed, you know, God would help him with that desire of his heart, that longing he had for something that even he wasn't getting from Squeaky Bee's. First Chronicles 15. I've been reading, as I told you earlier, reading through the Bible. It's just something I felt, well, God wanted me to do this year, is read through the whole thing in one go. And as I got to David's life, you can find it in Kings, you can find it in Chronicles, and I want to read for you in the Message version, 1 Chronicles 15:27. And he had just become king, but he knew he wanted more. He wanted God to be present in the city. And so it says in verses 27 through 28, he says, they were all dressed in elegant linen. David, the Levites, carrying the chest, the choir and band, the Kenaniah who were directing music. David also wore a linen prayer shawl called an ephod. You know, why is it telling us that? Because in the presence of God, he was nobody. He wasn't the king. He was a son worshiping him. And he put on, that garment was the garments priests would wear in the ministering to the Lord. And so he put on the ephod. On they came, all of Israel, on parade, bringing up the chest of the covenant, you know, the ark of God, which represented his presence. That's where his presence dwelt. And they were doing what? They weren't shouting. What were they doing?
Shouting.
Shouting, all the people, and cheering and playing every kind of brass and percussion and string instrument. They were, God's presence were there, and they were so excited. And then, and by the way, Psalm 96 is basically 1 Chronicles 16, the verses 20 through the end there. And so it's and so there's a whole psalm that repeats these words. But let's read what David sings. It says this is what David sung. Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out his salvation news every day. Publish his glory, which ESV says declare. Publish his glory among the godless nations, his wonders to all races and religions. And why? Because God is great, well worth praising. No god or goddess comes close in honor. All the popular gods are stuff and nonsense. But God made the cosmos. Splendor and majesty flow out of him. Strength and joy fills this place. His place. And so that's our first stanza. Shout to the Lord with ear-splitting joy. And verse 3 of Psalm 100 says, know that the Lord, he is God. He it is who made us. See, there's that creator. And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And I'll just say this simply is, get to know the one to whom you belong. I can't think of any way, other way of wording it. Get to know the one to whom you belong. And it tells us three things about him. It says, he is your only true God. It says, he is your marvelous creator. Don't worship creation, worship the creator. And third, he is your loving shepherd who guides you, protects you, nourishes you in his spirit. Amen? Get to know this. And then verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. You understand that when it says enter his gates, what are those gates? Where do you find those gates? Jesus becomes ultimately, yes, John 10. Very good, scholar out there, whoever said that. But in the Old Testament, what are the gates entering into? The temple. And you enter in through the temple, it begins with the bronze altar of sacrifice, and you confess your sins. And then and then he talks about the courts. And so as I was in this courtyard, which was a mimic of the temple, I walked through the gates, I came into the courtyard, and there I worshiped and celebrate it, right? So it's Squeaky Bees is a mimic of the temple, right? But here we enter. And so the point is enter his presence. It's not the doors of this building. It's entering through, as was said, Jesus Christ to worship him. And enter his presence with the words, thank you. Now, it was pointed out to me by Tad that all your outlines say not thank you, but thanks you. And I don't know if we have that, but he was just going, maybe what you meant was thanks you. That's what he did. and so, oh, he fixed it. That's okay too. It's, you know, enter God's presence and go, thanks you. And in whatever way, it all works, right? You know, Brennan Manning in his book, Ruthless Trust, He speaks on gratitude, and he says this, and that's the idea. Gratitude is thank you. Gratefulness is born of a prayerfulness that helps us notice the magnalia dea, in other words, the marvels of God, the crossing the Red Sea, the pillar and fire, and so forth. So he's saying gratefulness is born of this prayerfulness that recognizes why we have so much to be thankful for, which is God. C.K. Chesterton, he goes on to say, once remarked that the worst moment for an atheist is when he, she feels grateful and there's no one to thank. Interesting, huh? And our last verse. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So that word for is telling you what you have reason to shout for. It's him. And your God is awesome. For you have one awesome God, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. I put three in there. Did I put three in there? Oh, that's hilarious. Maybe that was for the Trinity. Each one deserves their own exclamation mark. You know, in this, again, there are three things for us to notice. First, he is good in his character. That's the very essence of God. As a matter of fact, no one else is good all the time. God is good all the time. It's his character. He has moments where he gets angry. That's why it says he's slow to anger, because it's not his character. But when Moses wanted to see the glory of God, God said, I will show you my goodness. This is your God, people. Second, his love endures forever. How awesome is this truth in the world of superficial love, short-lived friendships, fading romances? We got a love in him that is steadfast, constant, powerful. Song of Solomon says that it is like a fire that a mighty river can't quench. This is his steadfast love for you and me. Amen? Third, he is faithful to all his promises, generation after generation. What are those promises? These are why we meditate on the words of God, because otherwise they don't carry weight in our souls. God made promise after promise after promise, beginning in the garden after the fall to Adam and Eve. He promised the coming of a seed that would crush the head of the serpent. He gave promises to Abraham that we are living, of loving God, loving one another, and blessing others. He's given us promise after promise. You know, once a year, New Crossing Church has an annual week, redundancy, once a year annually, but we have this week of fasting and prayer, and we bring our hearts before God, and each day of the week has a different theme, but Monday is always repentance, and Tuesday is always gratitude, before we get into our petitions for the rest of the week. And in the Tuesday night of prayer, where we bring those two things together, the repentance and gratitude, I love what David wrote in Psalm 32, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but when you think of repentance, it is this humbling of one's heart, maybe the bending of their knees to reflect the sorrowfulness of their sins. And it has this solemnness to it, and it should, because it took Jesus' blood and being crushed on the cross to bring us that forgiveness. So there is that sense of awe and solemnity. Is that a word? Yeah, I just said it, so it must be. But listen to what David does with this, one of his most famous psalms of repentance. He says, for day and night your hand was heavy. Oh, by the way, this is verses 4 and 5. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is the promises and faithfulness. This is John 1:9. For if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Our insides get cleaned out by the blood of Christ. But listen to how he ends this psalm. In verse 11, Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. It ends with a shout. And so in those services, I have everybody stand and give a guttural, yeah, because they're forgiven. Love you, brother. You see, we have received a gift in Christ that we could never repay. When we grasp God's goodness, his forgiveness, his faithfulness to his promises, we follow David's example and shout for joy, right? First Chronicles of 16, that song David was singing, listen to how it ends in verses 28 through 34 in the Message Bible. I love this. The ESV says, ascribe. And you go, well, I have to look that up in the dictionary. You know, what's that mean? I love how Eugene Peterson put it. Shout bravo to God. Don't you love that? Shout bravo to God, families of the peoples, in awe of the glory, in awe of the strength. Bravo! Shout bravo to his famous name. Lift high an offering and enter his presence. Stand resplendent in his robes of holiness. God is serious business. Take him seriously. He put the earth in place and it's not moving. So let heaven rejoice. Let the earth be jubilant and pass the word among the nations. God reigns. Let ocean all teeming with life bellow. Let field and all its creatures shake the rafters. Don't you love that imagery? Then the trees in the forest will add their applause to all who are pleased and present before God. He's on his way to set things right. Give thanks to God. He is good and his love never quits. Amen. And so what made me most nervous about this morning is what I'm about to do next. So this morning, it just happened this morning, and they always, you know, warn preachers, don't write new stuff in the morning. But I had this prompting to take that song by Otis Day in the Nights and put some of my own words to it as I felt the Spirit lead me. And so... the worship team's not coming up because they're not ready for anything like this. And besides, I can't follow a beat. And so I'm going to shout some things to our Maker in heaven, and I can do it alone or you can join me. So if you would like to stand as I'm standing, join me. And you know how that goes, right? How many of you have been to the wedding reception and heard this song played? Don't worry if you have or haven't. You'll get the hang of it, right? And so, you know, this may be pitiful and sad, you know, when we're all done. But you know what? God's going to be so pleased with it because he looks at the heart and not the quality of our shouts. But he is the one worthy of the shouting. And so here we go. And it's cool, you know, when they say, well, you know you want to make me. Had you ever thought if the you is God? Well, you know you want to make me to
shout.
Kick my heels up and
shout.
Throw my hands up and
shout.
Throw my head back in.
Shout.
Come on now.
Shout.
Jesus loves me in.
Shout.
Jesus loves you in.
Shout.
He walked on water.
Shout.
He fed 5,000. Come on now.
Shout.
Come on now.
Shout.
He healed the lame man.
Shout.
He cleansed the leper.
Shout.
He made the blind see.
Shout.
He raised a dead man.
Shout.
A little bit softer now. A little bit softer now. A little bit softer now. He died for you and me. He died for me and you. Hung on a cross. Put him in a tomb. A little bit louder now.
Shout.
A little bit louder now.
Shout.
A little bit louder now.
Shout.
Death can't destroy him.
Shout.
Tombs cannot hold them.
Yeah.
We are forgiven.
Yeah.
We'll live forever.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Jesus is our home.
Yeah.
The angels are singing.
Yeah.
Jesus is our King.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just the warm-up performance for the worship band that's now going to come up. And I want you to remember this. All people were created for joyful shouting and worship, but the Lord gives you, his church, reasons to split the air with joy.